Welcome home. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and Baltimore Positive. And we're getting through this thing here today. We are in our, 22 of 40 hours of live. We are live. Sounds like Brent Musburg. We're Cocos. 10 times the cash is the Maryland Lottery scratch-off we've been giving out. Nobody's come up and said they won. I mean, I've given too many of these tickets out to not have somebody winning. We're going to be at State Fair all day Thursday, Pappas all day Friday. We're here at Cocos until 5 today. We've been having a lot of sports conversations this afternoon. We've done a lot of charity, community. John Hoey from The Y was here this morning. Mandy Snyder from Baltimore Homecoming. All that will be up. Ron Cassie is allegedly on his way over from Baltimore Magazine. Rasig is standing by. He's schmoozing up with Luke, fanboying Luke. Luke is waiting on crab cakes for him and his brother Justin, and Brian Pugh's about to join us here. I don't know whether you're on mic 3 or mic 4. I'm going to figure it out. I think you're on 3.
I don't know where I am
either.
You're on
3. Yeah, okay, you're fine. Hey, hold on. Marcella needs me. Hi, Marcella. What do you need?
Are you live?
Yeah, I'm live. Oh, you get a tuna stack you're going to bring me? Can I do that when Cassie's here and let them talk and I'll eat it?
Yeah,
all right. 4:15. 4:20. Bring it to 4:20. I can remember that. Brian does... You're a doctor or no?
No, I'm
not. You're
not
a doctor.
Actually, I'm an attorney, but yeah.
You're the executive director of the Brain Injury Association of Maryland.
That's correct.
And
actually, today's my anniversary. It's my 13th year doing it.
So, nice. And I'm sorry you had to spend it here
waiting for me
to do like crazy radio.
I've driven past this place. It's a brilliant place to be.
Karen's pissed at me. I'm 45 minutes late, you know, with you, but you gave me full permission.
No, man, we're good.
Karen, I love you. We're here. It's all good. He was well fed. He was offered crab cakes. He turned them down. He's going to have a tuna stack. Boy, that tuna stack looks good.
I'm telling you.
Everything here at Cocos has been awesome today. We're doing this all. It's called a cup of soup or bowl. It's for the Maryland Food Bank. You bring dry goods. You bring canned goods. Good things happen. Money's going in the can here. Anybody that gives a $25 donation to the Maryland Food Bank and locally here at St. Francis of Assisi School, where 6 kids went to school, and they turned out okay. I mean, for the most part, they named me Nasty Nestor. They couldn't have been that bad.
I don't know. Is it true?
Hey, Rasig, were your kids going to St. Francis of Assisi when they named me Nasty Nestor? Yeah, 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 yeah. And we're giving them food all these years later. I've had you on before, and there's no secret. I've did 27 radio rows, and we're not there, and why we're not there, and how we're here, and crab cake row, and all that. But every time we ever were on Radio Row, it didn't take me long, you know, in the 90s to say I liked having any guest on, right? So, you know, I remember I have pictures of me and Jerome Bettis and Randall Cunningham before he was here and played here, and Daryl Green back in like 95, 96, those Super Bowls. But it did not take long for the Radio Rows at the Super Bowl to include Jim Otto walking around, broken down.
Absolutely.
And Conrad Dobler, broken down. And my dear friend John Mackey's wife, Sylvia Mackey, to come over and talk about this CTE thing. Mm. And look, man, we're a decade out on the movie being made and the league skirting it under and the Dirty Jets doctors and Damar Hamlin almost dying. Like, I mean, it's just... We love it, but it's gladiatorial.
And the sporting news comeback player of the year, Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, he had very obvious to anybody watching except the neurotrauma specialist who was supposed to take a look at him. You know, when he had his 2 concussions, and then they went back and maybe he had actually had 3. And so then even with those concussions and the blown protocol and they fired the neurotrauma guy who checked him out, you know, because he had done such a bad job, you know, we're actually celebrating this great year that he's had. And he did. He had an amazing comeback year. But the reality is, you know, every hit he takes from here on out, you know, could be the last one. And that's a scary, scary place to be.
I remember it was a Chris Miller was the quarterback with the Rams. I'm trying to think of like Aikman had concussion issues.
Right. Steve Young had to retire because of concussions.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. But I remember specifically, you know, a quarterback 20 years ago retiring. And then you think about like Elvis Gerback getting out of the game early. Andrew Luck, you know, got out of the game early. Not as uncommon as maybe you'd think nobody would leave the NBA because they're not afraid of not being able to think clearly when they're 52 years old. Mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine who played in the 90s who's really, really cloudy now. He's a different human. And I can't really, I'm not going to out him, but I love him. He's one of the first people I met in football when the team came here. And you know, he's a different guy. Mm-hmm. Different guy.
It and is. And
he's my age. He's literally my age.
And it's, you know, I think it's contributing, you know, one of the things that is happening is, you know, there's, I think the latest statistics, like there's 100,000 fewer high school football players than there were, you know, in 2010 or something like that.
Moms really don't want their
moms
children.
Moms don't want to play.
I got a mom. I'm looking at women here.
Absolutely. Moms. You know, and they're going to the non-contact, and you're going to see, you know, and you see sort of the trend of, you know, the iSports with, you know, flag football trying to do that. But that's actually even more challenging. You know, they're finding that the kids get hurt. You know, the younger kids that are playing flag football can actually get hurt because they don't have the protective helmet, and they're still, you know, 11, 12, 13-year-olds that, you know, yanking a flag and knocking people down. So, you know, there's lots of challenges out there, and they have tried to make the game safer, but I think every time, you know, they take a step forward, you know, it's all in air quotes, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, we've changed the rules for kickoffs and you can't do, you know, can't do certain formations. And there were, you know, I think what, over 200 head-to-head collision penalties this year. I mean, you know, and they continue to try and they're doing investigations about trying to improve turf over grass, or which is better, grass over turf. Can they change something? Because a lot, because actually they're getting more concussions on turf nowadays. So
this guy's heads. Rubber band.
I mean, you'll see. Literally. I mean, some of the concussions that happen, you know, that it's banging against that turf, you know, because it's basically, you know, playing concrete with a little plastic, you know. And so when you see those hits, when you see those people come off, when you see somebody strike their head on a turf, you know, they're coming off in concussion protocol now, you know, and that's, it's good. All those things are good, you know, the head-to-head stuff. I mean, that used to be, you know, the NBC play of the week was somebody clocking somebody when they
jacked up.
Yeah, back when they had those huge, you know, enterprise aircraft carrier, you know, shoulder pads, and they would, you know, launch at people. But you know, so they're making those changes, but the reality is, you know, it's just so haphazard, and it really depends on the crew you're getting. It really depends on, sometimes you'll get a call in from New York to try and pull these people. But then you see him roll back out, like with Tua. You know, they roll him back out 4 days later for a Thursday night football game when he really had no business being out, you know, for a long time.
There's a lot of money at stake here, brother, right? I mean, that's the guy.
And that's why
I'm not sitting on Radio Row talking to more people like you, because the league didn't want people like me there, and they would never... If they gave me a pass and let me on the Radio Row, they would just deny you a pass for Radio Row. That you would not be allowed to be a guest that day, mm-hmm. if you were there.
Oh yeah,
to
nobody's
going to
want me. Yeah, and it's a challenge. I mean, it's because we're a threat, and you know, and
so am I.
And we're not looking to be a threat. I mean, that's one of the things. One of the things that I remember about, you know, when we had our first conversation last year. You know, when you're asking, do I still watch football? And man, I was like, that just really tears me up, because I mean, I grew up loving football. I was a big football fan. The more I learned about, you know, CTE, the more I learned about brain injury, the more I watched football, it became more challenging. And even with the concussion stuff that's happened and the protocols in the last 10 years, changes to the game, changes to the culture a little bit.
Your Howard Cosell moment? You have a Howard Cosell moment,
it's
or
still
did you?
It's a tough.
He had the Tex Cobb, right? Like, famously. Just, I don't want to see a guy die in the ring, right? Like,
it's close. Right? I mean, it you gets know? To that, but I wrestle with the fact, no pun intended.
What were they going
to
do, shut the NFL down if Damar Hamlin died that night? No, they would have played football next week.
Well, they did. They played that, you know, following weekend. I mean, they did, and he died on the field. I mean, I worried about, you know, the lack of oxygen going to his brain. I mean, that's really become... You know, with COVID and with the opioid crisis, those have become the brain injuries that people aren't putting together. I mean, we know that the number one cause of brain injury in the United States is falls. And it's going to be under 5 years old because you're learning to walk and you're falling into stuff. And then over 65 because your balance has changed, your vision has changed.
How about
you're on
the shower?
Different kind of. Yeah, absolutely. Anywhere. Because, you know, your balance has changed, you're taking medications, you're changing medications, all of that stuff works and comes into play with your balance, and slipping and falling, tripping over rugs, all that kind of stuff comes into play. So that still is the number one cause of brain injury. But the things that people aren't as aware of, that I think COVID kind of wiped the opioid crisis off the board, but the reality is it's about lack of oxygen into the brain. So the opioid crisis, what is an overdose? An overdose is when your brain doesn't have enough oxygen and you pass out, right? And with these new designer drugs and fentanyl and these high-end opioids, you stay passed out for a lot longer, and it's a lot harder. Even with naproxen and even with a naloxone shot or going through your nose and it pops you out, But that only lasts about 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden those pain centers start grabbing that fentanyl back in again. And so these people are going longer and longer. It's taking more and more doses to bring them out. And every time, there's lack of oxygen, either no oxygen going to the brain or lack of oxygen, parts of your brain are dying. And so you're waking up, not only have a substance abuse disorder, but now you've got a brain injury. We're going to treat the substance abuse disorder because we know a little about it. The brain injury is not coming back. You can recover in certain circumstances, but the reality is you don't know what's happened with that overdose. And same thing with COVID. Why were you on a ventilator? Because your body wasn't getting enough oxygen, right? And so these people now that are the long haulers and the long COVID, there's actually a bill in Annapolis right now to try and do some studies on the ramifications for this long COVID, because that is a real thing. You know, oh, I had COVID and I'm fine. That was no big deal. It's like, what's wrong with these wusses? It's like, no, you know, if you don't know how much oxygen didn't get to your brain because of the disease, and if you were on a ventilator for any length of time, or if you had bad COVID, or you had repeating instances of COVID, you know, there are parts of your brain that weren't getting enough oxygen, and you don't know the ramifications. And so you hear these people that talk about brain fog. You hear these people that talk about, you know, I used to be able to handle everything, and now I'm having problems, you know, dealing with my kids or keeping up with everything. Those are real things. Those are real ramifications, and I think we're going to learn as we come out of COVID. We're starting to do it. We're starting to see more and more of these people, and I think they're going to have to really start dealing with it as a public health crisis, in addition to what the pandemic did, you know, and all the huge suffering and death that happens. But the people that have lived, you know, with this long-haul COVID, it's another kind of brain injury that people don't really know about or put together or think about. So, you know, between the opioid overdose, every opioid overdose that survives has the potential for waking up with a brain injury, and most of them do. They call them toxic brain injuries. That's one of the terms they're coining now.
But between self-induced. Those, yeah.
Well, it can be, yeah, absolutely. But here's the deal. To that point, all I do is smoke weed, man. All I do is smoke weed. No problem. But if my dealer decides to spray fentanyl on it to make it a lot more of a better high, or make it a lot more potent, or get me hooked on weed, you know, people are coming up positive for weed all the time now in your cocaine. They're coming, you know, positive for opioids in your weed, in your cocaine, in, you know, your other drugs, and you don't necessarily know about it. Not everybody goes to a dispensary or has a card. Not everybody wants to do that. And those people that are continuing to take, you know, get them through illicit means, you don't know what the things are getting mixed with. I mean, I know people that have...
I'm curious, you're a sponsor, to tell people, like, I mean, I've got balm on my back right now, right? Like, I got the move. Like, I try... Wendy, we try to educate people because it is a... If you want weed, you don't have to get it on the street.
Exactly.
With fentanyl.
I mean, you know what's going in, and that it's a lot more of control. It's a lot more, you know, understanding about what's actually you're putting on your body, putting in your body, than this other stuff. You know, but the reality is, you know, I know people that have only smoked weed and have come up positive for opioids. It's like, no, that can't be right. It's like, because I only do weed. It's like, no, somebody sprayed your weed with fentanyl. And that's becoming ever more common because it does two things. It makes the high extremely high, and it gets you hooked, and you're going to come back. I want some more of that stuff you gave me before. Give me some more of that really good stuff that you sold me before.
I went to dinner in San Francisco, my favorite restaurant, a couple weeks ago with one of my best friends. I just jumped out for a couple days, and I was at the bar with two guys, and they were really down on the dumps, and about my age, maybe a little younger than me, actually. And they were celebrating the life of their friend that they lost, accidental fentanyl. Mm-hmm. He had had shingles, mm-hmm. and was sort of self-medicating and trying to, like, feel, but he was in pain.
Right.
And woke up dead.
Yep.
Fentanyl. You know?
It is. There's a new one, I can't remember the name of it, but there's one that's even more potent. And you take a look, and there's graphs, you know, you can go on the internet and Google this stuff, but it's like, you know, you take a pound of heroin, and then you get... you know, a little bit of more of morphine, you know, and it's less. It's like, and then you get a shot glass of this, and then you get down to grains of the same analgesic effect of this fentanyl. And it doesn't take much, and it can take you out.
Well, we talk about people all the time. By the way, Brian Pugh's here, Brain Injury Association of Maryland. What is that for everybody?
So the Brain Injury Association of Maryland, actually, we celebrated our 40th anniversary last year. We were started by parents and caregivers and therapists and doctors and nurses who really didn't have anywhere to turn back in 1983. So they turned to each other and said, you know, how do we figure out how to deal with our family members?
This was nothing about football. No.
This was just
falling,
these
right?
like pediatric injuries,
right.
Strokes, people with, you know, loved ones with brain injuries. Okay. And at that point,
well, when you think brain injury with me, it's radio where we go, it's all football.
No.
Football is just the most obvious place
Right. Exactly. Because you got the names on the back of the shirts.
I mean, we see people with brain injuries, auto accidents, all of that, right?
Absolutely.
Regular people.
So these are, or just, you know, falling in the bathroom, falling off your bike. All this stuff can happen. Getting, you know, whatever. So these guys got together and they started a foundation. The foundation linked up with some other national organizations and became part of the Brain Injury Association of America. So we have an 800 number, 800-221-6442. That's my shameless plug.
Yeah, play it again. Give me the number again.
1-800.
You did it too fast for me.
1-800-221-6442. And that is we've been answering that phone line for 40 years. We get around 300 phone calls a month from people all over the country looking to find out, you know, my son's had his third concussion, what can I do? My mom's fallen in Boston, we're moving her to Maryland. What kind of stuff do we need to do to get her stuff transferred here, and how do we need to make our house available? My brother can't live by himself anymore. What kind of services are available? You know, we handle those kinds of questions and try to help people and walk people through, because, you know, what we talk about is, you know, it's a club that you didn't know existed. You become a charter member, and even if you knew it existed, you wouldn't want to be a member. And you're going to get a graduate's degree in neuroscience, even though you didn't want to. So it's a very challenging time, and it can be very disruptive, and it can change people's lives. If I'm the primary caregiver, and my kids are out in the driveway skateboarding, and I jump on a skateboard, hey, Dad was a really good skateboarder, watch me do this, whatever. I hit a pebble, fall down, hit my head, no helmet, hit my head on the ground, wake up 3 weeks later. My law practice is gone. My kids I don't have any money coming in. I can't drive to work anymore. I can't think anymore. My kids can't go to private school anymore. I can't afford the mortgage, or who's got the insurance? I mean, very disruptive. And that's just one example of the many examples, you know. So we try to help people. You know, when they call us, you know, we try to walk people through the different things that you can, you know, because you don't even know what to ask. I don't even know what to ask. What should I be asking? And how can I get the therapist?
Well, so much we don't even understand about the brain, right?
And we're learning every day.
Everybody wants to say, can my loved one get better?
Well,
and that's all. I had a friend with a stroke recently, and they're, you know, is trying to relearn things. And my God, it's just, you know, I went through it with my wife with leukemia.
Exactly.
Her thing, but like, brain, man, it's all. And she had fog. She had chemo fog. Yep. She had all of that
brain,
going on.
Yeah, that chemo brain is a real thing.
A real thing. My poor wife.
And sometimes you can get through it, and other times you just got to adapt and you figure it out. And one of the things that we talk about, you know, it's recovery is a huge term in our rehabilitation, right? But a lot of people that I talk to that are doing it say, you know what, I'm not looking to recover. I'm looking to rebuild. I'm trying to move forward. Recover, you know, I've got a really big windshield and a very tiny rearview mirror, and I want to focus on the windshield. So I'm not looking at recovering what I had. I want to rebuild and try to do
better.
Where
can I be next week? Where can I be the following week? And measure progress, right? You want to get stronger.
You've got to count the wins. And one of the things we do in one of the support groups we have on the week during the week is we talk about wins of the week. What's your win of the week? And it can be small things. Like I tied my shoes by myself, and they stayed tied all day. That sounds monumental
right?
for
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah,
you know, we
right.
had somebody just the other day. He said he hasn't been out of his wheelchair in 5 years. He stood up. And that, I mean, and there wasn't a dry eye on the plate. I mean, we were all applauding. And that just, you've got to take that win. But, you know, one of the challenges, and they call it the silent epidemic for a reason, is if I can't see it, if you don't have a big scar across your face, or you don't necessarily have, you know, some physical,
we talked about that
deformity
with mental health challenges.
Absolutely.
We talked about that with PTSD, with military, and just you can't see what's wrong with them, right?
You can't, you have no idea. And that becomes really, really problematic for the people that are trying to do it.
Right.
Trying to live every day and trying to get through every day. And, you know, and that's one of the things that we try to reach out to them and say, you're not alone. We get it. There's thousands of people, over 65,000 people, families dealing with this every single day in Maryland. And we can put you in touch with those folks. We can put you in touch with us. There's a huge community that's out here to support you and move you forward. And, you know, we do outreach on our social media. We're at BIAMD1. We've got podcasts. I do a podcast. It's called Brain Injury Connector, where we bring in treatment and therapists and inspirational stories and people that are living with brain injury every day to try and just make sure that people know that you're not alone, that there, you know, there is a reason to go on. And you can recreate. You can rebuild. You can find, you know, satisfaction in life, and families that are distressed about this, you can move forward and you can go forward on this and have phenomenal lives. And, you know, it's a very powerful experience to watch somebody find themselves again and say, you know what, I can do this. I did this. I can do this. I can do it again tomorrow. And it's amazing.
Appreciate you, man. Brian Pugh's here, Brain Injury Association of Maryland. Give the website, give the numbers, give all
so
that stuff.
So we are at BIAMD.org, www.BIAMD.org.
And your resource, anybody has
Brain injury, stroke, you know, any force or blow to the head. We've got all kinds of information. We have support service case managers who can talk to you. You know,
financial help.
We can find financial help. We don't do any direct support,
sure.
But we're about trying to get people the help that they need, right? We're sort of the wheelhouse for you come in and we're going to try
you
and put
you
in something.
You have resources to put you in the right places.
We have relationships with a lot of the hospitals, a lot of the therapists, a lot of the government agencies, and we can try to put you in touch. We can help you in certain circumstances to apply for some of those services and try and make sure that you have what you need.
Well, I'm wrapping up day 3 of 5. We have an hour left. Ron Cassie from Baltimore Magazine and Rasigar over here acting like they met each other last summer. They become like friends because they met on my show. Isn't that the greatest thing ever?
If you have a friend for 40 years, you don't want to be bringing in other people that might be nicer. You know, you want to make sure
you're smarter.
Don't let them take over your friends, man.
That's all right. Ron Cassie's my friend. My friends make friends. It's the greatest thing ever.
That's
so,
right.
So they're both going to be here together. And they met on my show last summer. And since then, we were talking about the Ravens and the Orioles. And the Orioles were on fire. It was like August. They were getting there.
And
they both are big Oriole guys. So we're gonna do some Orioles. Imagine that this week. You know what, man? Crab Cake Row so far, greater than Radio Row. Because, like, I couldn't have had you on out there. You'd have to fly out there. They wouldn't have let you in. They wouldn't let me in. But Crab Cake Row, where everybody's invited. I mean, everybody's invited to Coco's today. State Fair tomorrow. We're going to be at Pappas on Friday. Big thanks on Monday to Damien, everybody down at Fadley's. They're going through some hardships and they're trying to get from the old market to the new market. They were awesome for 8 hours with us. We had an amazing guest. Tuesday at Costas, I cried 2.5 times on Monday, 3.5 times on Tuesday. And so far, I'm all the way through Wednesday. I got a little emotional talking about Harvey earlier this morning, but I'm good. I got my Village People belt buckle on to honor the great Harvey Myers and the great YMCA song. And I also had the director of the Y here today, John Hoey, who is threatened to take me over to 33rd Street and give me a tour of what used to be Brooks and Johnny Land, and they're doing the Y over this. We've had a great day. Got an hour left. You can find Brain at BIAMD.org. Oh, I get the Brain Injury Association
Maryland.
MD. All right. Thank you, man. You're always a wealth of information, and your podcast is good. You have all your NFL notes here. We didn't get to poop on the NFL a whole lot. You're trying to be really helpful to people.
I really do. We really do. We really want to be helpful. We want to get the word out, you know, and I think that the reality is we can have... You know, both. I mean, we can have sports, we can have participation. I mean, one of the things that we're really interested in is healthy body is a healthy brain. You need a healthy body to have a healthy brain. So, you know, anything that gets you outside an activity. And the activity is, if your sport has an activity and has a helmet, wear the helmet.
Wear the helmet.
Wear the helmet.
Always wear the helmet.
That's
all right.
Right.
That's good. My brain's fried. I am Nestor. We're giving away Maryland Lottery tickets. It's 10 times the cash. Our friends at Window Nation, I got the wacky hat. Give them some love, 866-90-NATION. If you need windows, I can highly recommend these folks. They're the best. They're doing my doors for me this year, so I'm excited about that. I'll be talking about that as that happens in the springtime with a little like light crack under the door that I've been seeing for 20 years that I need to get fixed.
That's a draft.
My cat keeps the mice out, but like not the little snakes, not the like the little tiny ones, which... I had Chad Brown on this week. He's another Radio Row veteran that we did a Zoomer, and he's a herpetologist. He's a snake breeder. And
wow.
I told him about the snake that I trapped in the basement when my cat had it because I thought it was like a worm, but then it like got up like this.
Ooh.
But it was, I don't know, the whole snake was like, it was smaller than that. It was about this big. It was about 2 inches long and maybe as thick as this wire.
So,
maybe a little
how tall was the chair you were standing on looking
no,
at
no,
it?
No, no, no. My cat cornered it. And I just got the cup, put the cup over the bug cup, the critter cup, and I put the like it wasn't the lottery ticket, but I put it underneath, and I turned it over, and I'm like, "Yeah, he's cute. You got to go." And that was the end. And my wife, I took a picture just to show my wife that I was brave.
That's right.
Right.
Hunter gatherer, honey. Hunter gatherer.
In the picture, the snake looked.
Oh sure, that's right. Photoshop that bad
I'm not
boy.
Doing a very good job for Window Nation, but they're going to keep that crap out of my place.
There you go.
Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, come by. You got an hour left if you're listening live at 4 o'clock here on WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We got saltines, peas and carrots, whole black beans. People are doing nice things for the Maryland Food Bank. Marcel is doing a very nice thing. If you donate $25, she will give you a $25 gift card for here. So you give her $20, she gives you $25 back. That almost sounds like a flim flam, except that she's getting flimmed. But she's giving it to the St. Francis of Assisi folks down at the church. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
No, thank you so much.
Ron's coming. Rusik's coming. They're coming back. I got to break up their beer, their little social hour, so we can get back and do some radio. Stay with us.